Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, members of local churches across the nation and the world, members of the main sanctuary, all believers worshiping through the internet worldwide, and the viewers of GCN broadcasting. Father God tried to give Cain a chance to repent of murdering his brother Abel. God wanted Cain to admit his own wrongdoing and confess it to God. True repentance is not something that someone points out as a wrong, but rather something that one realizes and confesses on one's own. And so God said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Then Cain said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" He lied to God as he was busy hiding his evil act, and he replied to God with an arrogant attitude. Then God revealed that he knew Cain killed Abel. In Genesis chapter 4:10, God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." God already knew all the fact that Cain killed Abel, where he did it, how he did it, and why he did it. God is omnipotent and omniscient, and he knows your every move. No matter how secretly you hide, he knows. So even if Jonah fled to the bottom of the ship and hid there, even if he slept there, God found him. You must always keep in mind that if there are not people in front of you or behind you, you will steal or do bad things. The problem is that the Lord God is watching you with eyes, His eyes like a fiery flame. You are often conscious of a people without being conscious of a God. Yet still God asked Cain a question first to give him a chance to repent by himself. But Cain didn't grab the chance. Then God began to talk about the curse that would be upon Cain. God said in Genesis chapter 4:11-12, "Now you are cursed from the ground, which is open its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be vagrant and a wanderer on the earth." It shows that the law of the spiritual realm that dictates a man reaps what he sow shall be applied to Cain. Romans chapter 2:6 also says, "God will remember to each person according to his deed." God repays according to one's deed. It's true. I know this because I have sinned and prayed for many saints. If you commit evil, you will be repaid accordingly. You break the law and then say, "Please pray for me." That's unjust. If you break the law, you must be punished accordingly. Therefore, you must walk the right way. If you do evil, you will be repaid with evil. And if you do good, God will surely repay you with good. If you walk this path and pray with love and sincerity, you will receive an answer. There were two curses that were brought upon Cain. The first is that even when he cultivates the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to him. If a farmer plows his field, but it's of no use, it's a great curse. Cain learned and mastered from his father Adam how to farm. Since the knowledge and the wisdom that Adam had back then was outstanding, Cain also knew farming very well. It was safe to say that Cain was an expert in farming, a skillful farmer. Even though Cain was an excellent farmer, he couldn't harvest good fruits if the ground doesn't yield its strength. What does he mean by saying the ground doesn't yield its strength? It doesn't mean that the ground has a cognitive ability and discriminates against Cain. Good fruits can be obtained with a farmer's diligence and God's help through the weather and rain. If God turns away, we won't be able to reap good fruit. No matter how good the soil, how good the seeds, or how diligently farmers cultivate them, if it doesn't rain or the sunlight isn't strong enough, or a typhoon comes and sweeps it away, it won't work. In any case, that's it. Only when God gives rain, wind, and sunlight can plants grow well. Of course, the farmer should be wise and diligent, but it's a fundamental that God should provide a good environment. God will help me, and then all my efforts and knowledge will be combined. God's help should come first. But because you ignore it, you are not receiving answers to your prayers. No matter how much you've been taught that faith is everything, if you still rely on medicine and the hospitals, you can't say you believe in God. Some of you just do according to direction from the hospital or pharmacy. If you truly believe in God, you leave it to God. The Bible also records that the king Asa became ill with his feet. He asked the physicians for help, and eventually he died. This teaches us that we must entrust everything to God. This is faith. The more your heart is filled with the truth, the more you will have a true faith. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance that faith brings." If you have this kind of a heart, your confession of a belief will not be false, and you will truly believe in God. It's not a matter of consulting worldly knowledge depending on the situation. You entrust everything to Father God until the very end. Farmers must be wise and diligent, but fundamentally, God must create a good environment. Now, Cain had to receive the retribution for his evil, act according to justice. If God had provided Cain with a good environment for farming, it would have been against justice. Therefore, God couldn't protect Cain's crops from natural disasters or blight. Now, no matter how much Cain used his wisdom to farm, he was unable to reap good fruits on his own. That he could no more enjoy a rich and abundant life since he couldn't be protected by God. The phrase, the earth does not give effect, implies that God's grace is withheld from the foundations of a life, and a person cannot live a proper life. Before the Cain committed the sin, the ground yielded its strength to him. His farming went well, he harvested abundantly and enjoyed an affluent life. Anyone can receive God's guidance and protection. If he obeys the word of God, he can also harvest abundantly in his livelihood. Let me offer an example from the Bible. In Genesis chapter 26, we can see that Isaac moved his dwelling place to avoid a famine. Genesis chapter 26:2-4 says, "The Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For you, to you and to your descendants I will give all this land, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the star of heaven, and I will give your descendants all this land. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.'" God wanted Isaac to move to promised land that he had given to Abraham to live there. When God speaks, you must keep in mind and keep it even as time passes. If he abandoned the land God had given him because of a short famine, this would be proof that he did not believe in God's promise. Isaac believed in God and obeyed the word of God. And amazing blessings came upon Isaac because of his obedience. Genesis chapter 26:12-13. "Now Isaac sowed that land and reaped in the same year the hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Likewise, if one obeys the word of God, the ground will yield its strength to him." In other words, God will give him amazing blessings in his livelihood. God established the law according to this and gave it to the Israelites. According to Leviticus chapter 25:33-4, this is the law pertaining to the sabbatical year, the seventh year. God said, "6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath to the Lord, you shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard." This was that God gave to the Israelites when they were in wilderness, and it was one of the law that they had to keep after they went into the land of Canaan. Canaan is the land flowing with milk and honey. God said that after they settled down on the land, they should farm the land for 6 years and give it a rest during the seventh year. But those who have a fleshly thoughts cannot easily obey it. And so God said this in the Leviticus chapter 25:20-22. "But if you say, 'What are we going to eat in the seventh year if we do not sow or gather in our crops?' then I will order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. When you are sowing in this eighth year, you can still eat all things from the crops, eating the old until the ninth year when its crops comes in." It means that God will give them a good harvest in the sixth year so that they will have enough for 3 years. Why do they need a 3 year worth crops? They surely need food for seventh year, and they still need food for eighth year because they don't work during the seventh year. In addition, if they sow a seed of the barley or wheat in the eighth year, they can harvest them in the ninth year. That's why God said you can still eat all the things from the crops until the ninth year when its crops comes in. Just as God said, God takes the full responsibility for the children who obey Him. Today you can receive such a blessing of God by giving tithe. Malachi chapter 3:10-12 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of the hosts, if I will not open for you the window of the heaven and pour out for your blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grain. Says the Lord of the hosts, all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. It said that if you give the whole tithe, God will protect your business or work and give a blessing unto you. God will stop unnecessary expenses and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But if you begrudge that tithe and don't give it, God cannot protect you. God cannot protect or prevent you from being deceived by a swindler or from having a disease. Eventually, you will encounter a loss, which is a much bigger amount than your tithe. As also the ground doesn't yield its strength, it was the first curse that came upon Cain. You must not create a wall between God and your sin so that this curse does not come upon you. The second curse was you will be vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Become a wanderer. It means that he will lose everything he inherits from his father and live his livelihood. It's grave punishment to become a displaced wanderer as a result of an unavoidable situation. Usually when people became a war refugees or taken as a captives, they become displaced. They become truly miserable. And so, 2 Kings chapter 21:8 says, and I will not make the feet of the Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. The following verses describe the evil acts of the Manasseh, the king of Judah. Manasseh intensely and fervently worshipped idols. He even burned his children to make a sacrifice. When the king did this, the entire country fell into idol worshiping. Regarding this, 2 Chronicles chapter 33:9 says, thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inheritance of the Jerusalem to do more evil than the nation whom the Lord destroyed before the son of Israel. Moreover, Manasseh shed much blood of the innocent people, that he persecuted and killed the prophets that God sent. According to what people said, this king Manasseh killed Isaiah, the prophet, by cutting him in two with a saw. Then God judged Manasseh. 2 Chronicles chapter 33:11 says, therefore the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound them with bronze canes, and took him to the Babylon. The army of Assyria that destroyed the northern Israel then invaded Judah, As God completely withdrew His protection, Jerusalem was conquered easily. Manasseh was bound in the chains and taken to Babylon. How humiliating must the king of countries have been when he was taken prisoner to an enemy country. Finally, Manasseh came to his senses. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, 12 to 13 says, when he was in distress, he entreated in the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. When he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplications and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Then Manasseh became a different man. He gave an order to remove all the idols from Jerusalem and to set up the altar of God. Dear brothers and sisters, so far I explained the two punishments that God gave to Cain. This law of the spiritual realm that dictates one shall reap what he sow is precise. Therefore, if you sow faith, goodness, love, and righteousness, blessings will surely come. There are many good stories in the world. We see that people who open love and justice are praised and passed on to future generation. On the contrary, if you sow evil and sin, you will encounter afflictions such as accidents or disease. Galatians chapter 6, 8 says, for the one who sows his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruptions, but the one who sows to spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. Therefore, if you face the problem or difficulties, well, should you find the cause? Look back on yourself to see if you've planted any evil or sin. Do any of you say, I don't see any fruit even though I saw the goodness and the love? Are you not preparing that even though you are faithfully planning and offering a lot of material to God, then first you must look back and see if there's a wall of sin between you and God. As long as there's a wall of sin, the blessing cannot come. When you did the severe work of the flesh, still retribution affects your life even after your repentance, and the blessing will be delayed. You will be blessed according to the good you've sown. However, if you still have a wall of sin between you and God, even though you are doing good deeds, and you've previously committed sin that led to death, that wall must be torn down before blessing can come. In such a cases, no matter how hard you sow and practice, blessings will not come. Rather, if you endure the tribulation time with gratitude, God will show mercy. After King David sinned, he was subjected to much discipline. How did he respond? He didn't complain, but felt deeply sorry towards God, humbled himself. And even when the people were against and cursed at him, he didn't treat them harshly. He kept silent at the person who gave a curse at him. Leviticus chapter 26 deals with it. God told them to remember this word even when Israel was going to be destroyed and the Israelites would become strangers. Therefore, memorizing the word is important. When the memorized word is in your heart, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you through it during the trials and the tribulations or when you pray. When you are awakened in this way, simply obey immediately. However, if you do not obey even when the Holy Spirit awakens you, the time of the trials will inevitably be prolonged. Leviticus chapter 26:40-42 says, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers in their unfaithfulness, which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me, I also was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies. Or if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled so that they then make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenants with Jacob and will remember also my covenants with Isaac and my covenants with Abraham as well, and I will remember the land. And chapter 26:44 says, yet in spite of this, when they are the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I so abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenants with them, for I am the Lord their God. No matter how grave the sin you committed, if you become humble in your heart and make amends for your sin, God has mercy on you. God says He will not destroy you. As I will tell you later, God gave the mercy of salvation to Cain as well. Our Father, God is love. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but desires all of them to reach salvation. In such a love as this, He continued to give Cain the chance to repent. When God revealed his evil act and mentioned about his punishment, he felt fear. Finally, Cain took on the repenting posture. In Genesis chapter 4:13 says, Cain said to God, my punishment is too great to bear. However, it was not the repentance from the depth of his heat. Oh my goodness, depth of his heart. He admitted his sin only because he feared the punishment. God doesn't want his kind of a repentance. He wants the repentance truly from the depth of the heart. He wants the repentance of a love. What is then the repentance of a love? Let me put it this way. Say you love your parents so much and respect them from the depth of your heart. One day you did what your parents hate most, and your parents came to know about it. If you are the child who truly loves the parents, you will surely come before them and ask for their forgiveness from the depth of your heart. You will tear up your heart because you are so sorry to hurt your parents' hearts and thoroughly repent before your parents. In this case, the pain in your heart will be as great if you love your parents. However, some children quickly repent for their wrongdoings, fearing that they will be disliked by their parents. They only outwardly bow down to their parents, calculating that they may be disadvantaged when it comes to dividing their property. The repentance that God the Father desires from His children of faith is a turning from the heart because He loves them. If they repent because they fear immediate punishment, it's not true repentance. In such a case, since it's not a case of a turning back from the center of a heart, the same sin can be committed again at any time. When the environment that causes a fear disappears, the remaining evil in your heart will come out again. 1 John chapter 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but respect love casts out fear, because fear involves a punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. As it's said, he who fears is not made perfect in love. Job also feared God, and that fear eventually came upon him. If you truly love, there's no fear. Even between parents and the children, if you love your child deeply and the child knows you love them, they won't fear you even if they misbehave. Even if you hit your children, they will come closer to you. They will even try to hug you. If you avoid and distance yourself from them because they scold you as their children, that means you don't know your parents' love. If you truly love them, you wouldn't avoid them because they hit you, but rather get closer to them. Those who keep the commandments out of the fear of the punishment cannot be said to love God. How can you call that love? It's that you keep because you fear punishment. You should keep and practice the law of God from your sincere heart. It's true that we keep the commandments because we love God. It's true to keep the words and the action that comes from the heart because you love God, not to keep them by force or to avoid a disaster. You know who God is. God is alive and He is love itself. If you believe that, know that, you cannot help but love God first. If you love Him first, you will naturally keep His commandments. Regarding this, our Jesus also said in John chapter 14, 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If we love the Lord, we keep His commandments. Those who come into the Spirit and love God most do not commit sin. Even if it's before in entering Spirit, if they love God, when they commit sin, they will immediately realize it and repent. They will regret it over and over, and they will behave themselves not to commit sin again. King David was the exemplary man who made this a repentance of love. After David took Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah with a wicked plan, he was severely told off by God. But David didn't make an excuse at the moment, but immediately repented. David's heart at this time is well described in Psalm 51. Let's take a short look at it. "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." He honestly admitted his sin and asked for forgiveness. Then Psalm chapter 51, 11 to 12 says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." David did not turn away from God out of fear, but rather, like a child crawling into his mother's arms, he embraced God's grace. Finally, Psalm chapter 51, 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are the broken spirit, a broken and the contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Since David himself made a repentance of love from the depth of his heart, he was confident that God would listen to him. When you repent and confess your sins with all your heart, you will have the assurance that God will forgive you. Such a faith and the convictions are the grace of God. You hide what needed to be hidden and leave what need to be left behind. So your heart are not at ease. The repentance that Father God desires is this kind of a true repentance. The repentance of love. It is not the true repentance if you don't truly turn back, but just say you are sorry only with your lips just to save the situation. You may deceive the people, but not God. Even the enemy devil and Satan know all the details concerning what kind of a sins the people of a flesh committed. If you sin or have a sinful nature, the spirit of darkness knows very well because it belongs to darkness. So if you have an unforgiven sin, Satan will accuse you of God and God will have no choice but to allow it. Then you are under the tribulation. As a result, the people pay the price according to justice, saying that you shall reap what you sow. Since Cain neither truly repented, he would pay the price for the sin he committed. Regarding this, I will explain in the next lecture. Let me conclude it, dear brothers and sisters in the Christ. In this lecture, I explain the two curses that God put up on Cain and Cain's reaction to the curses. Our Father God is love. The just of God who recompenses a man according to his work also comes from his love. Love without justice is not perfect because it can be biased. I hope, therefore, that you can hold on to the string of God's love in any given situation. Psalm chapter 73, 28 says, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." Even if you are under trial or you face a hardship, I hope that you can come even closer to God and you should be able to make our good Father God your refuge. May you pass all the trials in the love of Father God and have a faith like a pure gold in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.